4. New crew members on board, part 2, heavy cultural shock. Hello again, thank you for being here with me once more. I hope you are very well. I am Marie Swaru. As I've said so many times before, if there is one thing to take away from all that I've said in all my previous videos is that there are more people like you in space, outside Earth, and who, like you, belong to the Lyrian biological family. And that the limits or the barriers between what is to be considered extraterrestrial or human are vague and misty, much like with a gradient when talking about Lyrians. Most Tejetan crew members on board the starship Talika have been orbiting Earth for over 8 years, and some others have been doing so for over a decade. Adding to this, others still have been down below, on the surface of Earth, mingling with the general population, passing off as one, many times even holding a human identity that has been taken over by them, through complicated means, some fabricated, others assuming the identity of some human who has died. Some crew members, like Queen Alanim herself, had a human identity, and were well known down there having lived many years as a human, but actually being a step down, a full extraterrestrial, before finally leaving Earth to fulfill her destiny and role as the Tejetan Queen, but leaving behind countless people who once knew her, and with whom she shared the same dinner table. This is my case as well, as I was down there for 5 years. Adding to this, what we need to live has gradually made us depend more and more on Earth, making trips to the surface to buy things and to solve issues in a routine manner. Moreover, learning human languages, and speaking more than one of them correctly, or even better, mastering them, also causes us to absorb a lot of how humanity sees things and interprets reality, its values and ideas, as a language is not only a method of communication, learning it also includes the incorporation and the absorption of the entire culture who uses it. The individual who is learning a new language will also learn the culture behind that language, causing profound changes in the learner's understanding of reality. And even though we spend most of our time in orbit, going round and round in our enclosed floating city, we do have a lot of contact with everything that is going on down there on Earth, through the internet, which has become our main research method and communication tool with anyone on Earth. All this means that we import ideas, concepts, and things to this ship that is orbiting Earth. It means that after countless years of human influence, the ways and behavior on board Talika have become a unique mixture of Tejetan space culture and the human way of life. I am well aware that many critics of this disclosure, to call it some way, say that we are too human to be real, needing survival money and all. And I understand their point of view, but as I have already explained, we are people of two cultures, a bridge. We have one foot on Earth and the other in space, so to speak. And this is precisely why we can talk to you, because we can relate to your ideas and needs, and because we use your language and concepts, but not everyone on board has had such a strong connection and vast experience on Earth. Several crew members have never been down there, and they do not have any past lives, nor any karma to resolve, and are up here with us in orbit, simply because they want to help. An example of such crew members is the ship surgeon, Sinetra, who is half Tejetan and half Solartian, giving her a distinctive extraterrestrial look with her porcelain white skin, light blue eyes and very light yellow hair, which is almost white. Let me remind you that Solartians, who are also called White Pleiadians, are the inhabitants of the planets Plenia, Galenia and Plesia, which orbit the star Pleione, or 28 Tau, in the M45 Pleiades star system, some 440 light-years from Earth. For safety and efficiency reasons, Queen Alanim has kept this ship with very few crew members on board, and with few new arrivals who have been carefully chosen, keeping us all in some sort of our own community, in some kind of purity bubble. And then these last four crew members arrive here with us, two couples, Pixis Alexa of Era, and her boyfriend Aiden Izar also of Era, and Tarel of Temma and his girlfriend, Amikleth of Temma. All four of them are here to fulfill the role of fighter pilots, for flagship Talika's safety. But these four new people have never had any kind of contact with Earth. They are one of the best examples of pure Tejitans, with no human influence whatsoever. They arrived here with no knowledge of what is happening on Earth, other than the very basic, heavily altered and modified rubbish they teach at the Flight Academy in Temma. And as is to be expected, they speak no human languages, none at all, so their entire concepts and culture are Tejetan, at its purest. And then what was unforeseen happened, a strong cultural shock, not only between the new arrivals and Earth's culture, but between theirs as pure Tejetans and us here, as we are heavily influenced by Earth after countless years of exposure. What we noticed first about them is that they are extremely innocent, even naive, but in a beautiful way, not diminishing them in any way. Their souls are pure and void of any malignant understanding of things. They are fun and loving, fully demonstrating it all the time, freely and openly with no fear of rejection, or of being misunderstood, very much contrary to what would be expected from a bunch of military fighter pilots. Yet they are also cocky and self-assured, very confident about their abilities and role, and with an aura of being capable of facing anything that may challenge them, as would be expected in a fighter pilot. But the interpretation of things, and their understanding of human artifacts and culture is virtually none, as I will describe next. Alanim and I showed them a human pencil, a simple common number 2 yellow pencil, new with no tip, never sharpened before. We asked them what that was, and Aiden took it in his hands and examined it, telling us that he concluded that it was not for writing as it had no tip, but it looked like a pen, and yes, in Tejeta we do have simple writing pens, but he thought this was not one. He then placed it on the table and talked to the pencil. Start, he said, on, turn on, activate. And the pencil stood there on the table doing nothing. As Alamin said, it was low technology, so Aiden took it again in his hands, saying that he understood, and then started to press on the pencil's eraser, several times, thinking that it was an on-off button. And I said, no, it is even lower technology. Then we took them to the cinema room, a place full of blue sofas and a large 55-inch TV, to watch human movies. We played the movie, The Matrix, from 1999 for them, but they understood nothing. Needless to say, explaining that movie to a bunch of extraterrestrials is quite difficult, and even more difficult because they didn't even understand a simple change of scenes, as their minds didn't jump from one place in the movie to another, thinking that it had to be one single recorded sequence of events. They thought it was a recording of real-life events, and not a fictitious acting play. Making things even worse, they didn't understand special effects, or even the mere concept of them, and when we explained to them what they were, they said that was very deceitful and an unethical lie. Explaining to them the purpose of special effects in a movie, and the purpose of the movie itself was an extremely difficult task, and to this day I'm not sure they got the point. Then came nighttime on board, and they all retired to their private quarters. But you know little Sophia, Yazi, she loves to do tricks and pranks, and these innocent newcomers are perfect targets for her. The next morning the four new ones informed us that there were ghosts in their rooms, because they felt the presence of someone walking around, and some of their things changed and moved during the night. Of course, it was little Sophia and her pranks, having been able to sneak inside their rooms by overriding door locks and all, and very much against the adults' warnings not to do so. Perhaps doing her through the walls thing, for those of you who know, and for those of you who do not, it's better for things to remain that way, trust me. But the interesting thing here is that all the new crew members didn't display any fear at all, being that ghosts are something normal for them, readily and commonly accepted as real in Teijita. They had no fear reaction, so we notice that being afraid of ghosts and paranormal activity is perhaps something specific to Earth, because people fear the unknown. On the other hand, ghosts and apparitions are part of everyday life for Teijitans, they understand the phenomenon, therefore there is nothing to fear. Besides, the lower astral in Teijita is very peaceful, as its entire planetary matrix, its collective unconscious, is very positive and clean, void of malignancy. It looks like Sophia couldn't frighten them with her prank after all. Later on, the newcomers asked us why many of our clothes had tags and labels. We had to explain carefully that those clothes were of human origin, and the tags were to classify them in sizes, and to let the new owner know how they must be washed, as well as to display their price, or monetary value while in the store. They didn't understand the concepts of sizes in clothes, as, of course, in Teijita, they do not exist, because all clothing there is tailored to each individual, many times even made by the very person who will use them. The mere concept of mass-produced clothing, or mass-produced anything, is completely alien to them, as an economy as such, because one thing led to another, and they asked us what monetary value was. We proceeded to explain what money was, and how it was used on Earth, and they were completely shocked at its unfairness, and at the suffering it caused. The two new girls, Pixis and Amaleth, ended up crying in disbelief, when we told them that people on Earth even died, if they did not have any money to buy food, and a place to shelter. When we are sharing the dining room, I notice that they look at me and at Alanim a lot, as we share the same table, as I've been explained, perhaps in disbelief that they are actually here, and in the presence of their queen, they have heard so much about, as well as her adventures in deep space, and orbiting a strange faraway planet called Earth. We must be careful with these new people, and their clean and innocent hearts. If they cry because of what money causes, just imagine if they would be made conscious of all, or even some of the terrible things that commonly happen on Earth. Perhaps it is best to keep them in a bit of isolation, they need not know too much about Earth, because it is guaranteed to be a strongly traumatic experience for them. There is no need to spoil their innocence, and the purity of their souls. Lastly, they are a clear example, and a clear indication of how much we've changed here, in contact with humans and their civilization. Welcoming them on board had caused unexpected things to happen. It looks like we have a lot more to learn from them, than them from us. Thank you for watching my video, and for liking and subscribing, I appreciate it a lot. And I hope to see you here next time. Take care and be very well. With much love, your friend, Marie Swaru.